Al-Qaeda has a new home base, that according to Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. I'm Scott Ott with Bill Whittle and Stephen Green. This episode of Right Angle brought to you by the members at BillWhittle.com. Gentlemen, Pompeo was giving a speech to the National Press Club in which he indicated that Iran is the new home base, taking over for Afghanistan, where Al-Qaeda had operated for years. He says that Iran is actually worse than having Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan, implying that Afghanistan was basically a place of refuge because of the mountainous terrain and the difficulty of accessing these little isolated tribal groups. But Iran is proactively providing support and shelter for Al-Qaeda and a base from which they can operate, basically with the understanding that if you don't mess with our internal politics, we'll provide that sort of hard dome of protection over you. Stephen Green, we spent many years trying to run Al-Qaeda out of Afghanistan and elsewhere. It is now just days left to go in the Trump administration. And here the Trump Secretary of State is bringing out something that he said has been a growing phenomenon since about 2015. Any theories as to why now?
No, I don't have a theory as to why now. I have a theory as to why. Well, here's another case where the left was wrong again. We were assured back in 2001, 2003, 2002 to 2003 that radical Sunnis and radical Shias could never work together. They just hate each other too much. And during the Iraq War, we found plenty of instances where they were doing just that. And here is another one. Iran's radical Islam or Shia regime is cooperating with Al-Qaeda, which is a radical Sunni outfit. So it's just more fun and games in the radical Islamic world. What this comes down to is the fact that it doesn't really matter where they go. We're just going to have to keep killing these SOBs. I hate to say that. And I don't mean occupying entire nations like we tried in Iraq, like we had to do initially in the first days after 9/11 in Afghanistan. We stayed too long, clearly, by years, maybe in both places. But there was an advantage we had. You know, we fought one of these long ideological sort of twilight conflicts before. And it was, of course, the 45-year Cold War against the Soviet Union and their Warsaw Pact friends and other cute little places like North Vietnam and North Korea. And the advantage we had there is communism was promising a better world. You know, we're going to build the new Soviet man. We're going to share our plenty with the common man and all the rest. And they couldn't deliver. The point I made on the backstage episode is actually from something I wrote almost 20 years ago, back when Vodka Punnett was young. The Cold War was really over by the early 80s. We were making stealth fighters in secret, and in public, we were selling personal computers for $200-$300. I mean, this was a miracle of human achievement to be able to do these things. Invisible strike jets and home computers that almost anybody could afford. Meanwhile, in the Soviet Union, you couldn't get toilet paper, you couldn't get condoms, and computers were still huge, massive things that, you know, you needed special state permission just to look at. Radical Islam doesn't promise a better world. They promise a better afterlife. And there's no way to repudiate that. And this is the weakness we find in fighting this pernicious ideology. And what it comes down to is little things like where Al-Qaeda is hiding this week, or what scheme Iran's mullahs is coming up with today, or all the rest. By and large, the details don't matter. We are going to be in this very strange condition, I'm afraid, for a very long time, where there's no longer a bright red line between war and peace. We just have to be smarter than we were in the first 20 years of this century about how we spend our resources fighting.
Bill Whittle, Al Jazeera's report on Pompeo's statement basically says that the U.S. Secretary of State made this statement of Iran being the new home base for Al-Qaeda with no evidence, in their words. Iranian spokesmen have called Pompeo's statement warmongering lies. Bill, does it strike you as an unusual time to warmonger, if you want to accept their term, which I don't, when you've just got a couple of days left in your job, what do you think could be the benefit of Pompeo saying this when he did?
First of all, anytime Iran says that something is a warmongering lie, historical evidence shows the chance of that being true is exceedingly high. That's the first thing I would say. As far as the timing, I just think clearly it's a warning. Iran is not Afghanistan for a number of reasons. Iran is an intact nation. They have an air force. They have an army. They have air defenses. They have all of those things. Now, if the United States decided that we wanted to strike a target inside Iran, we could do it. But that's not the issue, and that's not what Pompeo is arguing. The problem is that for the incoming administration, Iran is an ally. As far as that goes, you might as well say that Al-Qaeda has taken up home in Great Britain. That's one good way to look at how the incoming administration looks at this. This isn't my speculation. This is the way that Barack Obama's administration under Vice President Joe Biden treated Iran. And these are the people that Joe Biden is appointing to his cabinet, the people that structured the deal that gave them $800 million on a cargo pallet are the people who are going to be running the State Department. So the threat is not just from the physical protection that the state of Iran provides. We could knock that down if we want to. But it is essentially now Al-Qaeda, as far as the incoming administration is concerned, is now being sheltered by an ally, and not just an ally, their ally, their main ally in the Middle East. This was the entire Obama strategy, was the pivot towards Iran. That's why Obama didn't have anything to do with was it 2009 with the Arab Spring and the Green Revolt, when they could have actually had a chance to knock over that regime, that horrible regime. Didn't do it. So if I'm Pompeo, I'm thinking to myself, okay, I suspect, frankly, the reason Pompeo did it when he did was that whatever chance there may have been of the Trump administration staying in office, Pompeo figured those days have passed, and now there's nothing left to do but warn the world and warn the American people, and especially put down a marker saying that Al-Qaeda is back, and they're back in the hands of the country that the United States is going to pivot to diplomatically, and this is probably not a good idea or a good thing.
Well, if the incoming Biden administration, especially the State Department and other agencies that deal with Iran, are wise as they come into this new situation, they won't squander their field position. Let me put it in football terms. The Trump administration has done some very helpful things for them that even if they want to use that as a negotiating tactic that basically says, hey, deal with us so that you don't wind up with another group like those people coming back in. It kind of like Reagan Carter played Iran on the incoming Reagan administration. It makes some sense for Biden's team to look at the situation as it is and say, what benefits do we have? The Trump administration has been relatively successful at drawing together the Arab world little by little, country by country, establishing diplomatic relationships with Israel, which of course flies in the face of everything that Iran wants to see happen, Israel and the United States being the great Satans in the world in view of the Iranian regime. And so you've got this growing group of countries who were previously somewhat hostile toward the United States, but who hate Iran worse than they hate us. And now Biden's administration has an opportunity to parlay that gain on the part of the Trump administration into some serious reforms in Iran and some serious pressure that they can put on them. I will take the same approach to this administration that I took to every other previous administration, which is whether I voted for them or not. And I have a long, long record of not voting for the winners in presidential elections going back decades. But, you kind of look at it and you say, okay, this is the team we've got now. What can Republicans do from their relative weakened position in the Senate and the House to be able to make the moral case to the American public that we need to pay attention to what's going on in Iran, to not be careless about the way that we work with them diplomatically and to encourage the Biden administration to parlay those Trump administration gains in the Middle East into substantial gains that can really make a historical change in that whole area of the world. Here's hoping that there are a few heads that are locked straight on shoulders within the Biden administration who have an understanding of the great benefit that they have right now, and we'll give them the power to resist squandering that. For Bill Whittle and Stephen Green, I'm Scott Ott. Thanks to the members at BillWhittle.com for making Right Angle possible.